Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 81.50. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. If you heard that, slam in the background. That was Steve just throwing the door closed like a 11-year-old. But the reason Steve can get away with doing that is because we have great temperature control in here. That's why we use DFH. Or we use DFH so we have great temperature control. And if temperature control is something as important to you as it is to us, then DFH Company is the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Inquire about their Mitsubishi Mini Split for that hard to heat or hard to cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com.
And when you're all comfortable, if you want to start gambling.
Good transition.
Yeah, thanks. Pigskin fans, the moment you've been waiting for all season is right around the corner, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner, Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway. Up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you got to do is get your share of these huge prizes, or to get your share of these huge prizes, is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you'll get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you can win the top prize of $1 million. Download the app now. Enter the free prediction challenge. Answer the questions like who will score last, and boom, get ready to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012. So they know a thing or two about big paydays. So download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code WLCL to enter to win $55 million Super Bowl prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use promo code WLCL now. Enter the free $55 million Super Bowl challenge only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner, Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Can you read that, Steve?
I can. Let's see. On this day, January 27th, 2001, there he goes again. DePaul Day for Marcus Maben as Louisville guard equals a career high with 30 points as the Cards win 73-63. In Freedom Hall. At season's end, Maben ranks all 11th all-time points scored in Cardinal storied history with 1,624. Not a bad career. Not a bad little career you had there.
That's not a bad stat line. Yeah. Thanks, John Salzman. For all your marketing needs, go see John Salzman. Yeah. Follow him on Twitter. Now he's my favorite person.
Not a bad little day there, buddy. 30 points equaled 30. Who'd you have 30 against other than
them? Look, I told you, Steve, just some food team like Murray State.
That works. Whatever.
Look, Coach Crum, the high post is not really a prolific for the big-time scoring numbers.
That works.
It's funny. I saw a stat line, and I played like probably 32 minutes, right? And I played 32 minutes in a game I saw, and I guarantee those 8 minutes that I didn't play had me ready to transfer in the middle of my senior year or something.
Right.
Like, Coach, you literally hate me. You benched me the entire game.
It feels like that.
Marcus, you played 32 minutes. Yeah, Coach, but I can tell you hate me. Right? So I got to think about this. So Marcus Maben's brain has to hear people say,
36 minutes is Dave Johnson.
You see, right? And I'm like, 36 minutes? You think David Johnson isn't pissed off about those 4 minutes that he wasn't in the game? You think Carly Jones coach. Little wear and tear on my buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot about timing when those 4 minutes are, too.
Yeah.
You're feeling it, and coach pulls you, and you're not happy about it.
Dude, 4 minutes is an eternity for a starter.
Well, lucky for those two, they didn't get pulled at all.
So no, but that's my point. Like, they would be angry. They would be in a bad disposition.
Sure.
Had they been pulled
out. I would be in an angry disposition if they kept setting. Like, speaking of Duke, you see Duke bounce back. Got a W over Georgia Tech.
Okay, I saw over your shoulder, Brian Hall. Did you say he's number 15?
Mm-hmm.
Brian Hall, go to the Duke roster and see who number 15 is. Because Steve said this last night. Steve said, I saw a little clip of some dude for Duke looking going beast mode on somebody. And I don't remember anybody that had the ability to go beast mode on us like I just saw that dude go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that play over your shoulder, and I was thinking the exact same thing.
The dunk he spun off the guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, over your shoulder, I'm like, who is that dude?
Like, was he out Saturday, or did he play? Did anybody remember him?
Number 15. It was 15, right?
Yeah. I think it might have been Coleman.
Give me one sec here. I'm trying to find something that has their numbers.
Jeez. Just Duke basketball roster wouldn't have numbers. Maybe not. Right,
might just have the names. Some of them just have the names. The generic
Mark
one.
Williams.
He's number 15.
He's a freshman, 7 foot.
Yeah. That's probably him.
Mark Williams, freshman, 7 foot, out of Virginia Beach, Virginia, played for IMG Academy.
Did he not play against us?
Go look at our. Are you going to bring up our stats or something? Like,
yeah. I
Coach.
I'll get it. Hold on.
Yeah, Coach, listen. Right. You know what, Steve? I'm not saying this in a mean way, y'all. So don't cancel culture me on this.
Oh, you're done.
Coach K, if you had that dude on your bench and you had Matthew Hurt and David Johnson had to guard Matthew Hurt, and if you had a 7 foot freshman with those level of legs on your bench and you didn't bring him in against the University of
Louisville. So here you go. He played 0 minutes against Louisville. In the Georgia Tech game that you're referring to, he had 6 points and 6 rebounds. He is only averaging 2 points and 2.5 rebounds in about 13 minutes a game.
But he averages 13 minutes a game.
Hold on. That was before. Hold on. One sec.
If this dude was on that bench and you didn't put him in the game because he's a freshman, the reason
he averages 6.5 minutes a game. He played 0 against Louisville. He played 13 against Georgia Tech for 6.6 rebounds.
What did he play in the game before Louisville? Can you go back and see that? Because if you just thought he wasn't ready for the toughness of Louisville, there's two problems there.
Mm-hmm.
One, Mac really owns you.
Yeah.
Two, you're Calipari. Like, y'all two might be
might be wearing down a little bit, man.
Your mental fastball may have lost a couple miles per hour.
All right, so Mark Williams was listed as the number 26 player overall in last year's class. He was the number 6 center. He was a 5-star. According to 247, he was a 99.
I believe it.
This season, let's go back to, let's go like 2 or 3 games before Louisville. 3 games before Louisville, they played Wake Forest. He played 4 minutes, had 0 points and 2 rebounds. Then they played at Virginia Tech. He played 2 minutes, had 0 points, 0 rebounds. Then he played at Pitt for 2 minutes, 0 points, 0 rebounds. Did not play against Louisville, and then played 13 minutes against Georgia Tech and had 6 points and 6 rebounds.
He just didn't even play, man. Holy cow. Because I didn't know that he was even the top.
It took Steve Rummage 2 seconds. It took Marcus Maben 2 seconds to say, who the hell is that dude?
Yeah. Because I saw the Duke. I didn't see the first half of the Duke game.
Jerry Meyer, 247 Sports Recruiting guy, so I'm looking at their thing, had him projected as a second-round pick if he goes pro after the first year. Comparisons to Thomas Bryant. And like I said, he was the number 28 overall player in the class.
Yeah, I didn't even watch the first half. I saw a highlight, and it was DJ, and it was actually a DJ Stewart highlight, and he threw it, and this Williams guy caught it, and he makes a move, and he goes up and punches it, and I'm like, that guy didn't play against us. It's like, I would have noticed
that
guy.
Yeah, you saw one play, and you said, who is that guy?
Yeah.
Because I didn't see him, and I would have recognized him just in 2 seconds.
Yeah, because that's the type of dude that comes off the bench, and you're like, God, they just got these dudes on the bench.
Just, you know. Okay, so what do you think about that? Like, that's a Calipari-level gaffe.
Yeah, I mean, unless like you said, unless Kay just this Louisville thing's getting to him, man.
2-4 or Rivals has him as the number 31 player overall. Yeah, 5-star as well.
Yeah,
you watch that and you're like, if that kid's in camp, he's getting drafted in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm saying this is a much different level, but isn't that kind of Aiden Agahan?
I was gonna ask that question. I was gonna bring that up.
It's a good question.
You do own K though.
Okay. Now,
yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Okay, but hear me out.
But we're 10-3.
Hear me out. The Aiden Agahan thing, I think we all need to back off of. Because here's why I say that. Before the season, Dino Gaudio said Aiden Agahan got COVID. He missed a bunch of time. I think during that COVID time, I think they found some stuff with Aiden. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The coaches mentioned the other day, and I think it might have been Coach Mack, that just on one of the podcasts he was doing, just side kind of mentioned a heart issue with Aiden. I that immediately, because there was a rumor going around before the season. It's like, man, so you hear somebody in this Louisville team may have like a heart issue. Like, they may not play. May not play all year. Like, you know, and everybody was like, immediately, you're like, oh God, who is it? Well, David Garlic? You know?
Right, right.
If that is connecting the dots, and I'm not saying that's 100%, but just if that's connecting the dots, and then Aiden takes a groin injury. Have you ever had anybody out there who's ever had anything wrong with their heart? Even if you're okay, and it's not life or death, still your heart. It's
terrifying.
And my cousin had that last year. We tried to play ball, and I mean, and bless his heart, like, I had to talk this guy out of anxiety attacks a lot, because it was like, I mean, my chest hurt, you know. And I'm like, all right, but you've been to the doctor. They told you this is okay. You know what I'm saying? Yep, like literally talking him down. Like, they told you it's all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and he was like, yeah, all right. You know, but it was just like every time his chest hurt, you know, it was like, oh my God, is this that issue, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of backing off the Aiden thing. Like, let's wait and see with Aiden.
Yeah,
because if that is the case, there's a reason. Coach Mack may have been doing more protecting of Aiden than we gave him credit
for. Yeah, the only reason I don't even have to go there is because I back – when I go to the film and I do a defensive possession – I tucked Aiden Agahan in the corner and just said, dude, you can't D up like these guys.
Oh, no, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, you just can't
D but up. But I'm saying like these guys. When people were going, why is he not even getting a minute? Like, he's not getting anything. I think that when you couple that in with, because if not,
I mean, Charles can play and he's behind.
Oh yeah,
and he has basketball IQ.
Sure, but if you take a guy who started playing basketball a couple years ago, and then you add on these issues, health issues on top of it, like it, then it's not that surprising, and it's not that surprising to understand why Aiden doesn't even remotely look like a guy that's heading out of here.
He doesn't.
You know, he looks like he's fully involved. Like, yeah. I mean, he's like, no, this is my squad. Like, I'm here. I'm here for the next few years, you know. So I think when you put all that together, that's why I'm saying I'm kind of backing off the Aiden thing. Like, there's obviously some things going on. And on top of, he's just not ready yet, you know. Like, so.
I tell you what, y'all. This is kind of awkward, but I got to take a quick commercial break. And we'll kind of have a long pregame stretch, Clemson pregame stretch. We'll end it with the Coach Mack interview from yesterday, his media availability. So quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. So, Steve, this is pregame time now. This is Clemson Louisville pregame.
Speaking of that, let me just take a quick moment here to remind everybody that Louisville basketball does take on Clemson tonight. And be sure to join Marcus Maben for your pregame coverage around 8 o'clock.
I can do that.
On 93.9 The Ville. And then immediately after the game, be sure to catch the official U of L Health postgame show with Ethan Moore. Be around 11 o'clock on all ESPN Louisville stations. We're the first place to take your calls and hear live from Chris Mack.
Do they not want me on all stations today?
Nope, you're just 93.9 The Ville. There's other stuff
going
on.
You should vow to, you know, maybe get a simulcast going at from 10 to noon since we don't have anything going on 680, you know? Put them on both stations.
That'll never happen.
You would think so.
That listenership.
Because tonight on ESPN 680, you can hear Creighton at Seton Hall at 6:45.
Yeah, because the Creighton Seton Hall fan base is just.
And then on Friday, you can do Iowa at Illinois at 8:45 on ESPN 680. So a lot of stuff going on. Also, real quick, since we're doing it, ESPN Louisville's the flagship station for the Bellarmine Knights. Catch every game live on 93.9 The Ville or on the ESPN Louisville app. Friday, Bellarmine's at Kennesaw State at 5:45 on 93.9 The Ville. And then Saturday, Bellarmine at Kennesaw State, 3:45 on 93.9 The Ville. And Bellarmine basketball on ESPN Louisville is presented by Carling Roofing and Sheet Metal, Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water. Use promo code ESPN15 to get 15% off your first order. Which I'm drinking a nice cola Focus right now. Cola.
How is that cola one?
It's amazing. There's another one in there. There's
like
a cold
it?
One. Yeah, there's another cold one in the middle of the fridge. The middle.
Does it taste like
go cola? Grab it right now. I want you to do an online taste test of the Focus right. Cola.
It's probably my favorite one.
Keep in mind, I'm not a huge sparkling water fan.
Okay? No, neither am I.
I
want you
neither am I.
To give us a full Focus Cola taste test live on air, and then we can get into the full Clemson breakdown. Okay.
I like the cola one, though.
Say what you said during the break, Steve, about this stats.
Say what you need.
Say what you chest.
Yeah. Yours is manlier than mine.
I'm listening. You said the gift the university puts out always puts you in a little bit of a rut.
Well, first off, we're not getting sandwiches. Texter. But this is why I love the text line.
That you know.
But we're not getting sandwiches. What's PH Arena?
Ooh, Steve.
Confirmed we aren't getting sandwiches, though.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for confirming.
Okay, we'll have that. We'll have that discussion after Brian does this.
Brian is Twitter guy.
Okay, we want to hear it, Brian. We want to hear it on air.
I can confirm.
All right, so first thought, I open a cola drink and see clear. Makes me wonder.
You smell it?
Smell it. I'll smell it. Hold on.
Does it smell like cola?
Smells like cola.
Right?
Smells just like cola.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now let's try it. Definitely still tastes the sparkling water, but it has like a watered down Sprite a little bit.
You have to. The thing I've learned with sparkling waters is, and Focus has been the best one. First off, let me tell you about Focus. They win me over with the can.
Do you think it tastes more like a Sprite, though?
I agree with you.
Like a watered down Sprite?
It's easy. But here's the thing about the can. It's easy to hold.
That's a great point.
And the rough kind of like, it's just.
Yes.
It's very appeasing.
It's very palm friendly.
Yeah. So like, I enjoy
it's
this.
It's got texture to it.
Yeah, somebody said like a crystal clear Pepsi, like
yeah.
But the cola one, I do think sparkling water also is an acquired. Like you have to you have to drink them. Because I'll be honest, the first few times I drank sparkling, Focus was the first like sparkling water, not like the stuff you get from Walmart that tastes like orange juice, you know, or orange soda.
Right.
But this was the first like real sparkling water. I'm not going to lie. The first few I had, I was like, I'm not a fan. But then I kept drinking them. And
you drink them every day almost.
And now I really enjoy it. And I can, here's the thing though, I can now taste the flavors. Before I couldn't. I just tasted that. Now I taste the flavors and I'm like, these are pretty good.
So when you read it, it says it has tea caffeine, no sugars, sweeteners, calories, sodium, preservatives. It's gluten free, it's non GMO, and it's vegan.
When I was doing the Vitality, you can have Focus. All the Focus you want. Yeah. So, I mean, that and they're... All
right, so as I'm drinking a little more, I'm getting a little bit more of the Coke taste.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's pretty good. Like,
you agree it has to be cold, though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that goes with about anything. Right. Is there anything you enjoy? Well, no, I'm saying water doesn't count. Because, I mean, I can pull... Actually, I usually drink room temperature water. Okay. Yeah, so... is there any drink that you prefer? And don't be like, oh, chocolate.
I know.
Or coffee, which I kind of like my coffee cold. But,
is there any beverage that I prefer?
Because like my mother-in-law drinks sodas.
Prefer to what?
Room temperature.
Oh.
Like she don't put sodas in the fridge. She leaves them outside and she drinks. And I'm like, you're a psycho.
I only have sodas with alcohol, so.
Of course. Naturally.
I mean, I can drink water.
We knew that. I mean, I guess vodka and stuff, right? You don't put that in the fridge?
I do, but...
Oh. I don't know.
It doesn't melt my ice.
I don't drink.
Look, it just gives me a couple extra seconds of ice by leaving my vodka in the fridge.
Okay.
If I'm planning to drink that vodka tonight, then I might throw it in a little.
Speaking of this, I'm really excited about this butter beer. That I'm gonna get down.
It's really good.
Down at Universal. Had the stuff from Universal?
Yeah, it's like a. Do you like caramel or butterscotch?
It's like butterscotch cream soda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I'm getting the frozen one. Butterbeer, Harry Potter. Butterbeer.
I'm not familiar.
It's not beer.
You get it in a Hogsmeade.
Yeah.
I think I do now.
Hogsmeade. Right.
Kind of, but not really.
Oh, you look at me like I've got the problem here.
So when you go down there, the butter beer is actually made like with butterscotch caramel so that the kids can get it too, and it's awesome. Yeah. But then you can get Hogsmeade, which is actual beer.
Oh.
At the same place.
Interesting. Want me to bring you back some Hogsmeade?
I keep hearing these things, and they ring a bell, but I don't know where I heard it at.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. No, but I haven't had a lot of Harry Potter people talking to me. Like, except for you, newfound Harry Potter.
Hey, but the butterbeer, you're gonna
lose
love it.
Me.
You ever heard of butterbeer?
I think so.
From Harry Potter,
maybe.
Kinda. It comes in a big like stein, and you got it looks like a beer, and then it's got a foam top to it.
Butterbeer. Yeah.
I would lose the trivia, the Harry Potter trivia thing. So let's just
okay. One last thing, and then we can move on to the pregame. I am really, this is something people don't know about me maybe, but I'm going to throw this out here. We learn something new about each other every day. I am extremely excited for Godzilla versus Kong.
I am too.
I love giant monster movies.
Look at that look. He's like, oh.
I love like Kong Skull Island. Godzilla 2014, I think, is one of the best movies I've saw. I mean, out of the monster movies, like I don't know if I'd put it like top five overall, but I mean, like I love the big monster movies. Cloverfield, I love that. I thought that was an awesome movie.
You know what's funny? I've never not liked one, but I just don't watch them a lot. But I enjoy them every time I watch them.
You know, it's funny you say that because like I don't like just sit down like, oh, I'll watch a King Kong movie today. Yeah. But like I really, really.
It's like Transformer movies, like.
Yeah.
Every single one that I ended up watching, I was encapsulated.
You know, my father-in-law almost in Transformers 2, he recorded a song with a guy here in town named Andre Green who passed away. Awesome dude. They were in the final three. They ended up taking Linkin Park's New Divide as the main song.
Damn jerks.
But I know, but it was in the final three of the was going to be the main song for Transformers.
Nice residual checks.
I wouldn't be here. So
listen, why did you ask me about PH Arena?
Okay, yeah, well, because a couple of texters kept putting tell Steve about PH Arena. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, it comes from a serious conversation.
Okay.
And we'll just have it, because like I said, I mean, what else are we going to talk about other than Clemson, you know?
Yeah.
Top Clemson. 25. And
got a game tonight.
Yeah, right.
That's 9 o'clock.
I know. Am I coming to the studio?
I may have to.
Does it do with the Philippines?
I don't know anywhere else I can watch
it. What'd you say?
I looked up PH Arena, and there's a Philippines arena named PH Arena.
Okay, that's not it, Brian. But
hey, you know.
Okay,
good shot.
Oh, that's not it, so thank you.
Okay, so here's the problem, Steve. We talked about it earlier. Calipari's buyout is $60 million, right?
Okay.
So somebody basically was like, how could Kentucky get themselves off from under a $60 million buyout?
Okay.
You remember a story sometime in the summer where the rights for Miami's arena was being sold?
Mm-hmm.
What's that arena called now?
Watsco?
Okay, you remember the bidding war, right?
Are you talking about Miami's college arena?
No.
Oh, the Heat?
The Heat, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it was like a PH Arena.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to raise instant cash, that was a serious solution.
American Airlines?
No.
It used to be American Airlines.
Yeah. Okay.
But do you remember what it was almost? Not really almost, but somebody put a bid in.
Yeah.
To rename a
porn company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I do.
So they would give $60 million right there. But it'd be PH Arena.
Their money's still green.
And it'll get Cal out there.
I'm digesting this.
Rupp/
Yeah.
PH Arena. All I gotta do is put the colors there in the PH, and you'll know exactly what we're talking about here.
I don't know what the colors are. Just use
the font.
What's the colors?
Black and yellow.
Is it really?
No, I think so. Yeah. It's not my favorite.
I don't know. That's crazy. Oh,
okay.
Okay, fair enough. So that's what it means.
How much would they have to donate to get the rights to that arena?
Probably more than $60 million.
How much do you think they would have to give in a cash, in a straight up cash for naming rights? How much?
$200 million.
Up front.
Or more.
For $200 million, do you think they would let it be PH Arena?
No. Not in this state.
$300 million.
You're not taking Granny Lewis to. Not in that, no.
You're not writing it out, though, Steve.
I mean, UNLV maybe could pull it off.
There's no amount of money you can do to get
Nemo and Papaw aren't going there to watch. No. No. No, maybe Oakland.
It's just not working there.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay, Steve. Clemson, you see some stats to say Louisville, Louisville has some advantages and some numbers, but Louisville still in the KenPom, a 1-point underdog for tonight, which means that Vegas is going to have them as a 1.5-point underdog.
Are we sure about that?
Yes.
What's the spread right now?
Probably 1.5.
Let me look. I'm curious. I'm going to pull this up really fast live. We'll see what the spread is tonight. If they got a spread yet. Yeah, Clemson 1.5.
Yep.
Clemson's got a 56.6 chance to win on the predictor.
Okay, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think it's what we said before. I mean, Clemson's a good team. Clemson's a team that bust up Alabama. Clemson's a team that's beat a few good teams. I think they beat West Virginia.
Purdue.
Mm-hmm. Or they didn't beat West Virginia, they beat Purdue. Yeah, it's Clemson's a team that was ranked in the top 15 before they went on COVID break. Mm-hmm. And they come back. They played Virginia. They played Georgia Tech. And they played Florida State. And they lost all three of those games.
Are they just like a kind of an equal to us? Like,
yeah, I think so. I think right now in the ACC, I think you have Florida State and Virginia are the class of the ACC, I've been saying that ever since we played Virginia Tech, when everybody said, oh, this is the game, it's the number one team. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think Florida State and Virginia. And people are like, yeah, I don't know, Florida State and Virginia loses some games. Like, okay, well, watch as the year goes on. I mean, they're the best two teams in the ACC. Then after that, I think it's a little bit of a jumble. I think you've got Virginia Tech, Louisville, Clemson, all right there. At UNC. I put UNC up there.
They can all beat each other.
Yeah, where they're all kind of the next group. And Clemson tonight.
They need a win, too. They need a win bad.
Saying. You're going to get Clemson's best game of the year. Or at least effort-wise.
They really need a win.
Yeah, you're going to get the best game of the year from Clemson tonight because they desperately need the win. They desperately need a win because if you lose four straight, things can start spiraling. But if you come off of COVID, you lose those three games to three good teams, and then you beat a top 25 Louisville team, okay, we're kind of getting things back on track today. The COVID thing's over. Amir Sims is a guy who's given us trouble before. He's given us trouble with Malik and Steve. So we're going to have our hands full down
low.
He's
a good player. I remember thinking, why is he coming back to school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't happy about that.
They have some good guard play. They're a good team. I mean, tonight's a game you could absolutely go lose. Now, if you lose tonight, you need to turn around. You need to get that Georgia Tech game on Monday.
That's on the road, too?
I think it's at home. No, it's at the Yum Center.
Okay, great.
So, yeah.
I'm glad they didn't put us on the road
you
twice.
You need to come back and get that game on Monday. Now, if you lose, so basically what I'm setting up for is tonight would be a good win. Tonight would be a win. If Louisville wins, I'm going to be very happy with that. I'm going to say, okay, and not just happy, like, well, I'm happy they won. Like, oh, that's a good win.
That's a great win.
Like, yeah, you went in there, you got that on a Wednesday night at 9 o'clock.
Getting desperate teams. Teams are trying to save their season.
2 days preparation.
That's why I thought Duke was such a good win.
Yeah.
Because Duke needed that game.
Yeah. So Louisville on 2 day preparation, okay, we found out we're playing Clemson. We got a couple days preparation here. Now we've got to fly to Clemson. We've got to go play Clemson at 9 o'clock at night. If you come up with a win, cool. I mean, I think it's a big time win. If it's a loss, it's not one where I'm going to, oh, here we go. You know, it's going to say, okay, but, you know, let's get back on track. You know, next week we got three games in 6 days.
Can we handle night
games
with slow starts?
It's not ideal. I don't like our 9 o'clock games. I think we've played our worst in late games. And Miami was a late game.
I only liked them at home. I hated them on the road.
Yeah. And I think tonight's another one that's going
to
be like
you're
that.
You're asleep by the time you get to 9 o'clock on the road.
Yeah. And then like Texter says, you know, I mean, there's also the stigma that you've not won there in the ACC. So you're like, okay, well, let's see what goes on here. So I think it's one where the vibe for me is you kind of feel like they might lose. Just everything's kind of set up for Louisville to get beat tonight. It's going to put bouncing back.
Okay, multiple defenses, they press.
Yeah.
Are we going to attack their full court press? Because I've been talking about how the alley-oop is the third score. The alley-oop and the good passing is the third score.
Teams that press are going to give more credence to the Carlick and David may wear out a little more. Getting later in the season, team starts pressing. Coach Mack's going to have to find a way.
But you don't let them score, they can't set up the press.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, but here's the thing. KenPom-wise, Clemson's 20 spots higher defensively, 19 spots higher defensively than Louisville. Mm-hmm. So Clemson can D up. Louisville, on the flip side of that, is about 40 spots, 50 spots higher offensively. So it kind of equals out. That's why I say, I mean, it kind of equals out there. So that shows me that the game is going to be decided offensively for Louisville, like on that end of the floor. When Louisville's, if Louisville's 20 or 30, 40, 50 spots higher offensively and they're 20 spots higher defensively, then I think the game will be decided on how well Louisville can score on Clemson. And, you know, and that's just not the – any games that end up with us having to be the one that scores has not been the ones that helps.
I just want to match their intensity, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's what I say. I mean, tonight's not a game where I'm flipping out.
Because when Clemson is hyper, they're a good team. When they had an injury level.
I mean, they're going – and you're going to get that.
It looks like two different teams, you know what I'm saying, when you're, like, really excited.
Because if they lose tonight, man, they may be done. Like, they may be done. It's going to be tough. Four-game losing streak's tough, man. And on the flip side of that, like I said, Louisville turns around. You lose this game. Now you go into a week where you're going to play three games in 6 days, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. You're going to play three straight games, okay? At least one on the road. We're at Syracuse. I can't remember if Virginia comes here or not. I have to look. But you're going to play – three games in 6 days, and you're going to feel like I probably need to get two of these. And that's why a win tonight would really make me breathe easier for next week, because it would go, okay, we stole one there, because that's a game we're not favored in. It's a game the predictor has us losing.
Mm.
It's a game they need it. So make no mistake about it. Louisville would go in and steal one tonight. Like, that would be one you would feel like, okay, Louisville got out of there with the win. That's big time.
Yeah, like, this is the part of the season where
because everything's against Louisville tonight to lose this game. That's why I say I'm not going to be – now, if they just look stupid, then that changes stuff. I mean, if you look like, my God, y'all look ignorant. Like, you know, just killing yourself. It's terrible. Like the Miami game where in the first half you're just like, you're just giving up layups. Yeah. Like, this is awful.
Yeah, y'all just didn't show up.
But if Louisville shows up to play and they lose a good game, then I go, okay, but it puts a little more importance next week on a couple of those games. So that's kind of where I'm at with tonight. I think it's going to be a really tough game. I think it's one that I'm going to feel, like I said, like they stole it. All things stripped away, Louisville, Clemson, neutral court, 4 o'clock on a Saturday. Both of them, they've had weeks. I like Louisville.
Yeah,
I like my team against Clemson. But I'm adding with everything in that. So I want to be clear. Like, I'm not saying I'm scared to play Clemson, but
I tell you what,
are people, you scared with them coming off a couple big losses?
That's what we were saying. Like, that's kind of it's like you're Sorry, going to no, you're though. Fine, you're fine. It's okay to kind of rehash that one too, because you're going to get their best effort because they're uber desperate coming off three, and they have a built-in excuse though.
This is where we were right before the Duke game, and we were saying, hey, if we come out here and we lose to Duke, like,
yeah,
all hell's going to break loose. This fan base is going to go nuts. But if we get the win, we can bounce back.
Yeah.
And that's where Clemson is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are – but they have the COVID, too. The COVID – I don't want to say excuse. That's not what I mean. But the COVID, like, hey, we played three tough games coming right off of COVID. Yeah. And now we beat a top 25 Louisville team. Okay, now we're back on track. Let's roll.
I tell you what. We're going to be sure to tune in to 93.9 The Ville tonight around 8. For the pregame show, we're going to let you hear a little bit of we're going to let you hear the Coach Mack press availability. Maybe you can get a little better idea of what it feels like going into tonight's game, because he can do a better job, of course, talking about his team than I can.
Go to Dominique to start us off.
Hey, Chris. Dominique Yates, Courier Journal. Carlique was just in here, and he mentioned that when you were willing to change up the starting lineup for guys that practiced the hardest. Have you been able to see a little bit more change and just, you know, energy and guys practicing hard and, I guess, not being comfortable in the positions they were in?
We had a bad practice before we played, you know, Miami. You know, I made that, you know, pretty clear. I don't think we've had bad practice habits for the most part. I don't feel like guys get comfortable for the most part, but, you know, we are in some positions very new, and there are a lot of, I don't want to call them bad habits, but lack of habits. And so that leads to inconsistency. So, you know, I just felt like it was important at that time to really get into our players' mind that you play like you practice. You know, this isn't Allen Iverson and the 76ers, and, you know, guys haven't been, you know, playing professionally for 8-10 years. Like, our guys are still developing habits, and we don't bring it in practice, and we don't practice with a purpose. There has to be some type of penalty. Otherwise, your team is going to go out and not play very well, because you are, you know, you are on game night who you are on the practice floor every day. So that was the reason for the change. We didn't have a whole lot of time between Miami and Florida State. We didn't even have the ability to practice because we got in so late. But, you know, I liked our response since, and it's, you know, my job to, you know, keep that standard up all throughout the year.
Michael.
Hey, Chris. During the ACC call on Monday, you said that, you know, you were kind of scrambling to get things together, you know, with Clemson just thrown onto the schedule. How has that scramble gone? Have you been able to, I guess, plan properly for the Tigers?
We've done everything that we can so far. You know, we've got another practice here in about 30 minutes. You know, Clemson runs a lot of stuff offensively. They obviously have changed their defense from a year ago. They've been one of the best defensive teams pretty much all year. I know the numbers don't bear it out the last three games, but they've also played three of the better league teams, you know, here lately. So, you know, I understand what Clemson brings. They're going to full court pressure. They're going to deny your catches. Offensively, they're going to try to spread you out. Amir Sims is a very unique player at his position. He's experienced. And they have a lot of guys that can shoot. I mean, last year they shot, I think, 38 threes against us in the home game. So, you know, we're playing a really good team tomorrow that, you know, like a lot of teams, goes through a struggle, came after COVID. So I expect Clemson to be better than they have been.
Shannon and then Matt.
You get a lot of questions about Carlick Jones, and rightfully so, but he's averaging almost as many points now as he did last year at Radford. You know, he's adjusted to the competition and really helped pick your team to where it is right now. But where do you want to see him improve as the season continues? Where can he get better?
I think if you mean on the basketball court, I think that he can shoot the ball better. You know, I think he, you know, his pull up, you know, game has been a little inconsistent throughout the season compared to what I see in practice every day. Again, I'm nitpicking because he's a terrific player and he creates a lot of things for us. I think he needs to be, you know, a little bit better defensively, you know, able to guard both penetrators and guys that can score. But I think more importantly than any of the things on the court that I think he'll keep improving on, Shannon, just his ability to take ownership of our team and be comfortable as a leader. And that's where we really need him to excel.
Matt?
Hey, Coach. This is Matt McGavis with Sports Illustrated. Clemson, they're talking about their defense. They play a full court man-to-man press, which is something you guys have struggled with, dealing with the press. How have you guys been working to combat that heading into the game on Wednesday?
Yeah, I don't think we've struggled with that. I think we've had a couple times where we didn't meet our passes, but I wouldn't necessarily say struggle with it. They pick up man-to-man full court. And we're going to have to be able to bring the ball up and get us into the offense. And we've been working on that in practice.
Kent?
Chris, you guys have a unique offense where you got a couple really good guards in the backcourt that can kind of initiate things. Carlick mentioned that you kind of left it up to him and David on who does what and when. Do you like how they've kind of got that system? And it seems like, you know, whoever's got the hot hand or whoever's a little bit more open, it ends up doing it.
Well, both of them have the ability to play make, and we wanted to make sure that our offense centered around those two making plays, you know, for one another, for their teammates, for themselves. And so, you know, a lot of what we've been doing throughout the year had been ball screen centered, and we will continue to do that. And yes, it is a luxury to have more than, you know, one guy on your team that's considered a playmaker. And, you know, we're going to continue to, you know, go with that strength of ours.
Shannon?
I wanted to ask about your Twitter post today, the hashtag girl dad post with Lainey. And your daughters have been fixtures with you on the teams that you've coached and have been around and been obviously a priority in your family and in your life. But what does that mean to you just on the anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death? What does that whole initiative and that feeling for you mean in terms of your relationship with your daughters today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a reminder how terribly sad the event was a year ago. And, you know, for as many special and talented people as I've gotten to meet in the game of basketball, you know, it was unfortunate I never had the chance to meet Kobe Bryant. But, you know, I know how much he cared about, you know, being a part of his daughter's experiences, you know, obviously basketball being a huge part. And, you know, it's different. You know, my daughters don't play basketball anymore. They're more into volleyball. But, you know, I've always tried to take them on recruiting trips. I've always tried to involve them. You know, you spend so much time away from your family during basketball season, outside of the season with recruiting. I mean, you name it, visits with recruits. And so, you know, I thought that, you know, Kobe really tried to do everything he could, even as a player, to involve his family. You know, even taking the helicopter, ironically, you know, was because he didn't necessarily want to fight the traffic and be in a car for 2 hours all the time so that he can spend more time with his family. And so, you know, it's obviously a sad day, you know, to have the anniversary. But, you know, when that hashtag came around a year ago, you know, I think it grew dads a lot closer to their daughters and you know, an appreciation for who he was as a dad as well.
Coach, thank you.
Thanks.
That'll do us for today. Thank you for joining us.
That was Louisville head basketball coach Chris Mack as he previewed the Clemson game tonight. That press conference was yesterday, as you can tell with a little bit of the remembrance for Kobe Bryant there at the end. But keep it locked here on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive will be joining you later on today from 3 to 6. And we'll have pregame coverage leading you up to game time starting around 8 o'clock tonight. And then we'll have a postgame show immediately following the game. So keep it locked here on 93.9. We'll have you leading up to the game all day. And that will do it for Middays with Marcus Maben. Marcus and Steve will be back in studio tomorrow at 10 a.m. We'll catch you then.